Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Mem Gimel as we come to towards the close. We are focusing on the 43rd chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. This Perek focuses mainly on the Mizbeach HaOla, that's the outside Mizbeach which was used for korbanos, for sacrifices, rather than the incense altar which was used in the Kodesh, in the Heichal. And it is the transition Perek between the structure of the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim and their use and their service in the Beis HaMikdash. We should also note that this section, or this the last section of this perek, acts as the Haftorah for Parashas Tetzaveh, which obviously focuses on the Mishkan, the full construction, and the Kohanim's involvement in the Mishkan. So let's start at the very beginning. The first section of this perek is actually runs from Pasuk Aleph to Yud Gimel, up to Yud Beis inclusively, and it talks about how Hashem is going to come back to the Mikdash. Up till this point, we have seen the construction, we have seen the measurements, we have seen the actual structure of the building, but there's not been any life in it. This is the perek where the life comes to the building. And that's why he says, Kvoid Elokei Yisrael Bami Derech HaKodim V'Koloi K'kol Mayim Rabim V'Oretz He'ira Mikvoid. A beautiful description, how the presence of Hashem comes from the easterly side, and the sound is like flowing water, and the earth lights up in its presence. So this supernatural experience of this return of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters, so to speak, into the Beis HaMikdash through the east side of Oipol Alponai, and I prostrate myself on my face. And he talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes across here, Vatiso'eni Ruach, Vativieni Lachotzer HaPnimi, and this wind lifts Yechezkel, as he describes, he's been brought into the inner chambers, and it's all full of the Kavod Hashem, of the honor of Hashem. And he hears the Ish is speaking to him, and the man says to him, Ben Adam, es mekom hakis'i ves mekom kapois raglai asher eshkon shom besoich b'nei Yisrael la'olam. This is where I'm going to dwell forever. V'lo yitamu od beis Yisrael shem kodshi heima u'malkehem biznusom u'pigrei malkehem b'moisom. They are no longer going to make impure the area with their znus, with their infidelity and their murder, which had taken place in the past. And he is told to tell all of Bnei Israel, in order that they should be embarrassed to their sins. Remember, Yechezkel is talking to the generation who has just witnessed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, living in Bavel. Tell them that they should be embarrassed to their sins, umoradu es ha-tochnis, and they should measure the plan. So meaning to say, think ahead, but regret in the past. And this is going to be the model. It's almost as if this model of what the Beis HaMikdash is going to be their hope for the future. Why is it that it's coming from the east? So clearly we should remember this, the Da'at Mikra points this out, most of the Mefarshim point this out, is that when Yechezkel witnessed the Shechina leaving the Beis HaMikdash in the visions of destruction where he was witness from some sort of celestial standpoint of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that was where the Shechina left from. So left from the east side, and of course it is returning from to the east side. There are numerous word parallels to the way the Shechina left and the way the Shechina returns. Now we pivot into the next section, which is Psukim Yud Gimel to Yud Zayin, and this section focuses mainly on the Mizbeach HaOla, which is the altar, which is used for the sacrifices, which is in the middle of the Chatzar HaPnimi. It's really the epicenter of the entire Mikdash. And we're told the immediate description of this. So generally, if you think about it in the following way, it's really three squares or three platforms, one on top of the other. So the first one is called the chek, which is the foundation. It's a different word used than before. Usually the word is used is yasod in the previous mizbechos that we've seen. And it is 2 amos high and is 16 by 16. So you can imagine the first sort of square slab put on the ground. And there's what's called the Azara Gedola, which is often called in the other Mizbechos before it, the Sovev, which is 4 amos high and 14 by 14. So it's a second slab, sort of receded an amo on each side from the lower slab at the bottom. The ramp goes up to this level. So the Kohanim would walk along this area and go around the Mizbech. And finally, there's the Harel, or the Ariel, which was another 3 amos high, which is a 12 by 12 slab. So it's a 16 by 16 sort of short slab, then followed by a larger, higher, 4 amos, 14 by 14 slab with a 3 amos high 12 by 12 slab on top of that. And then, of course, in each corner it has a keren, which is 1 amos high, the totaling a 10 amos high in general. It is interesting that the Radak brings this up, that the Mishnah Midos seems to try to work out how this Gemara, or the Gemara there as well, deals with it, is how is it that this related to the shape and size of the Mizbech in the times of the Bais Sheni, in the second Bais Hamikdash, implying that that Chazal wanted to try to understand that Mizbech in this context, and therefore there's a machlokes as to what the measurements are all the Amos an Amo of 6 Tefachim, of 6 hand breadths, or are there some of them which are 5 hand breadths to sort of parallel sizes? The Radak points out that the Chachma Mishnah did try to synthesize these two descriptions, but if you look at Targum Yonasan, the Radak points out that there really are two measurements of two separate Mizbechos, and there's no need to dovetail the two in order for it to come out. And Yonatan ben Oziel, of course, who was a Tana himself from the times of the Mishnah, had his own way of looking at this. In general, this is something which is worthwhile thinking about as we move into these parakim over here. The Gemara in Chagiga Yud Gimel and Aleph does tell us that one of the reasons they wanted to, in fact, hide the book of Yechezkel is because there are many discrepancies between it and the Torah, and we're going to see when it comes to the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, not only the structure but also the service of the Kohanim and the Kohanim, the rules the Kohanim abide by, we're going to see that there are going to be differences which need to be resolved and need to be addressed as we go through it. And finally, there's the dedication of the Mizbech, which takes place in the last section, which is Yudches to Chavav at the end of this, the Chavzai at the end of this chapter. And what is interesting about this is there's a 7-day or 8-day process of sacrifice. And Yechezkel is told to give instruction to the Kohanim, what they from the Zerat Tzadok, from the seed of Tzadok HaKohen, who are going to bring these korbanos. And there's a specific instruction as to what they're going to be. There's going to be a parben makor lachatas, and there's going to be a certain way that the blood is sprinkled. There's going to be, every day there's going to be a seirizim from day 2 onwards to day 7, a goat, which is going to be for to sort of a chit'u es ha-mizbech, to sort of cleanse and purify the mizbech. And this is going to be a process of what the Yechezkel calls ritzui, which is appeasement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. And on the 8th day, they can then use mizbech for your sacrifices. It will now be ready to be used. The Radak does point out that if you look at the permutation of the korbanos and the way they are used and sprinkled, that this is different to anything we've seen up to now in any dedication ceremony of the Mishkan or Mikdash beforehand, which indicates this is going to be a new set work for a new framework of korbanos for the future. The question which is fascinating over here is that it seems to be that Hashem is directing specifically to Yechezkel himself the leadership of the Kohanim, where it says in Pasuk Yutes, "V'nasato el Kohanim," you, Yechezkel, should give to the Kohanim these instructions, this is what they should do. This obviously is relevant because Yechezkel, we know, is a Kohen himself, as was clear from the first parak of the of Yechezkel. So I mean to say his kahuna, his priestly job is being reinstated somehow in this vision. And there's a discussion the Radak discusses. Does that mean to say Yechezkel will be brought back for the second Beis Hamikdash? But the Radak says it doesn't seem so, because we know tradition tells us that he dies in Babylon. And also we see that the korbanos they're going to bring in the second Beis Hamikdash are not going to be the ones that Yechezkel is instructed to give. So it obviously means to say sometime in the future, whether it means to say that he'll be at Tchias HaMezim, he'll be in charge, or whether it means to say that from his children, there'll be people who will be in charge of the rededication of the temple. But nonetheless, it's a very powerful closer to Yechezkel's role in this, not simply as a spectator, but also as a person very involved in this. One last closing idea, and that is a very, very interesting idea, which is mentioned in Rav Gidon Weitzman's book on the Haftorahs called His Words, Their Voices. And he writes this because, of course, this is the Haftorah of Tetzaveh. He quotes the Perek Choftes in Sefer Shmos, where it describes at the end of this whole description of the Mishkan and the dedication of the Mishkan, very similar to what we have here, a precursor to this, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is that V'kidashti es oil mo'ed es mizbech ves Aaron es bonav HaKadosh l'chayeni, I'm going to sanctify the sanctuary and Aaron and his children, V'shochanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael v'yisi lochem l'elokim, and I'll dwell among Israel, I'll be them to them a God, similar to the words at the beginning of Parashas Truma. And finally, the closing words of Yadu ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, you'll know I am Hashem, your God. I took them out of Egypt in order to dwell among them. Which sounds like, if you think about the sequence of it, that when they were in Egypt, Hashem was not there. Once they left Egypt, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, that's why Hashem took them out. But that's a very depressing point, because most of Jewish history was spent in exile. So that means to say, if the only place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found is in the Mishkan, at times when we were at our high, well, there were only a few hundred years of high in Jewish history. There's been thousands of years of lacking that. So the Netziv actually points out very fascinatingly, Rav Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, on that pasuk in Perek Chof Tes, pasuk Mem Zayin in Shmois, he points out a very fascinating thing, and that is, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I was with you in Egypt in Golos, and therefore I took you out because I myself needed to leave with you to create a more explicit way of dwelling among you. But of course, I dwell with you even in the darkest, even in the most complicated of situations. So what Yechezkel is saying, the audience of this prophecy are people who have not yet had the opportunity to see Gaul, and they're not going to. They're going to die without seeing Gaul, and many their children and their children's children well, they're going to see a somewhat of a Gaul, but not the Gaul that Yechezkel is talking about at the end of days. Which means to say, Yechezkel is saying, be reminded, there is the ultimate point of gathering where we're going to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with you in the Golos. We should see the ultimate redemption, b'mehera v'yomeinu. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.